give you the tie. You know that. I'm an addict. My name is Sam. It's by God's grace that I'm here. And I'm going to talk about me for a little while. I hope that I can let God of my understanding take over. Because first I'm going to share some surface stuff. And then I'm going to hopefully share about some sex ship and relationship. But I'm going to share my story, so I hope y'all can get some relationship, sex ship, and battleship out of it. Thanks for sharing, man. My clean date is January 26, 1992. And it's by God's grace that I've been clean. And I was sharing with some people this morning about, I wanted to share, as long as I see this little kid up here, so I'm going to try to clean it up. But I was telling them, I was saying, like, some of the stuff I might share might get somebody else fucked up. They might be drunk as hell, you know, or used to do some of the stuff that I did clean. But what happened was, it was about 1987, and my ex-wife started noticing stuff missing out of the house, right? Like stereos, TVs, and I can understand why we had three telephones, right? I was like, we didn't even need no telephones, this is before cell phone. I said, well, we got three telephones, we don't need but one phone, but, you know, it was cordless, so we can just run it around the house. So I was selling stuff out of the house, and so it was at her suggestion that I get some help. And she started finding spoons, too, all burnt up, cans with holes in it. And she was like, what is this? Well, you know, I was like, that was the dude that came over here the other night. He left this over here, you know. And so she had a little intervention thing going on, right? She called some people who called some people, and they called me downtown. And I went downtown. I was twisted out of this. I mean, I was twisted this day. It was like a payday, and that was the day I was really twisted. And so she said, you know, we're going to meet downtown with some people. They're going to do an analysis and see if you need some help. And I went in there, and I couldn't hold a pen in my hand. I mean, it was a long line where I had nodded out, filling out this thing to see if I was an addict, right? And I answered all the questions. I scored 100 on that test, yeah. Y'all. I scored 100. I want to feel that was the first 100 I ever made, right? I scored 100 on the test, and it was kind of weird. The guy said, man, you need to go immediately. You know, you need to go to treatment tomorrow. But I had money. It was payday. I just told y'all it was payday. So I ain't never wanted to quit when it was payday. I don't know about nobody else, but I ain't never been one to say, oh, I got all this money and I got this dope and this. I just feel like not getting high no more, right? So anyway, they did the intervention thing, and I was on a plane, and I went to one of those 30-day Betty Ford things. And I was down there. I was trying to get laid. I was not trying to recover, right? I found me a treatment girlfriend immediately the first day. And me and her were sneaking around and, you know, grinding like little 12-year-olds in the back, in the locker room. I don't know about nobody else. This is my story, right? I was like, look, hey. I didn't have no drug problem. I had a money problem, right? If I didn't have to sell stuff, my wife would have never known that I had a drug problem, right? So I really didn't think, and I went in treatment. I was like, look, I'm just going down there. I'm going to get her off my back, you know, my job and everything. Cool, I get back home. So I did fill out the little treatment plan, what I was going to do, and I got out, and I caught a plane back home, and they was bringing me, H and I was bringing meeting in, and they was taking us out. I ain't heard nothing. I got back, my wife picked me up from the airport, we went and got dinner, she ordered a glass of wine, I said, bring me one too. hey, ain't never been my problem wine, you know, we ate dinner. I left. We went back home. On the way home, I said, let's stop by the liquor store. It's been 30 days. I need me a half a gallon, you know. I got me a half a gallon. We went home. 3 weeks later, I was in treatment again. But this time, I was in a wrinkle. I was in this little treatment center with no pay kind of thing. The thing that they did, you know, a public thing where they give you 30 days with the styrofoam shoes on and stuff, and, you know. My ex had gave me $20 to buy some cigarettes and stuff, right? I ain't buy no cigarettes. I kept that $20. She gave me a Bible and $20, right? She said, Sam, pray, please. God, help him, you know. And she said, Sam, it's going to be me or those drugs, right? And I said, baby, I'm going to miss you, you know. I was like, shit. I could always get a woman. When I had some drugs, you can get a woman. I mean, it was no problem finding somebody, you know. Even like my boy said, there's nothing, you know, I couldn't do nothing after I got high. She know that. That's the first thing she say. You're like, go ahead, take a hit. You know what I mean? You go first. Go ahead, dude. Because I'm talking about, you know, that joke was like a raisin after that, right? It was like a raisin. You'd be in there like, give me some more. You know, that. And, you know, nothing happened. Be 2 hours trying to get that thing up, right? Nothing happened. Go ahead and take another hit, you know. We'll do something tomorrow, you know. Anyway, I'm going to speed this up, right? 5 treatment centers later, I'm going to just say this. How many newcomers in here? How many is this first convention? How many people in here first convention tonight? All right, let's give them a hand, y'all. Yeah. You're in the right place. You don't never have to use again, you know. Don't never have to use again. And so what happened was, after this 5th treatment center, man, I was thoroughly whipped. I came home from a night out, man, and my wife had cleaned out the house. She had rolled up the rugs. I was twisted too, right? She'd taken everything. I was gone. I'm gone. She was gone. My wife was gone. The house was empty. I turned the key and the ship was like, hello, 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 hello. I was like, hey, baby, you know. She had rolled the rug up. She even took my hot sauce. And she didn't even like hot sauce. She took the hot sauce, right? I was like, oh, shit, she's never coming back. Man, I was really nervous, right? By this time, I had got laid off my job. You know, I mean, just my life fell apart. They said jail's institution of death. You know, I mean, it's all downhill. I don't care how, you know, it was downhill. And she gave up. You know, she had started going to Narayan on me. They told her, save yourself. They said, save yourself. She had her own literature laid out, you know. She had Why We Here, you know what I mean? She had her first step, you know what I mean? Second step. And I was like, damn, her shit was more working than mine was, you know. Man, I went in that treatment center, that last one. I was, you know, I mean, I'm talking about I had to take a psychological ad whipping, you know. I mean, really bad. And I went in there, man, I was humble. But I wasn't one of them. The first day, let me tell you what happened, because this was really pathetic. So I go in the treatment center, this last one, man, and I said, so I'm at the intake, and it's a girl up there, right? And she's bifusing, you know, she's got big titties. And so I'm at the desk, right, and I'm looking at the titties, right? And I ain't thinking about why I'm there, you know. But she says, Mr. Khan, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's looking at my sheet. You know, she's saying, yeah, you got, you know, you're a heroin user. You use this. We found this in your urine. You know, you got amphetamine. You know, she was just running out of this. I said, yeah, all that. So I said, I'm looking at my mind because I told you I just had a treatment girlfriend. So I said, oh, I'm going to hit this, right, as soon as I get clean. And she said, Mr. Khan, why are you here? I said, I need you out there, Lord. I started crying like a bitch. I said, well, I won't get none of that. You know what I mean? There go my image. But anyway, I broke down crying, man. That was God shaking the truth out of me. You know what I mean? I mean, here I am looking at these breasts, thinking that I'm going to hit it. And God was saying, fool, you need some help. Your life is at stake. You know what I mean? Your life is at stake. Man, I finished that treatment center. I was humble. I was doing what the hell they say. When them counselors said, go to bed 10 o'clock, 9:50, I was in bed. You know what I'm saying? And I was listening to the counselors, and I said, look, I like to die. And I said, man, this is no joke, because I was scared. I could vision myself with a Safeway cart, you know. And, I mean, I wasn't a Safeway cart kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I called myself an upscale kind of guy, but I was visioning myself with a Safeway cart, you know, talking about can I get 15, 20 cents in front of the store, man. And that I wasn't cut up like that, you know. I'm not a hustler. I ain't jump over no counters. I was a begging-ass nigga that got in the way of real users, you know what I mean? I really was. I mean, it's no joke. I was the kind of guy that when I come, they said, hit him that begging ass Sam. You know what I mean? I ain't got no stealing skills. I don't hustle. When we go stealing, I'll drive you there and I'll wait outside. And if you be more than 20 minutes, I'm rolling out because I know they didn't court your ass and I ain't going down with you. I ain't going down with you, right? I remember I went to the store. We found a check, right? And we were in a check cashing place. We had a relationship before we went in there, right? And, man, I saw the police pull up, and I know they had him in there. You know they had him in there. Yeah. Man, I backed out of that joint. I said, oh, shit. Because I ain't cut up like that. I didn't go to jail. And y'all watch the odds. Y'all see what happened to that shit, you know what I mean? I wasn't cut up like that. Look. Look. Hey. No big Ibizi, what's that guy name? Is Ibizi? At Ibizi going up at me. I was like, oh hell no. You know? I mean, everybody thinks black guy, look, no, I ain't cut up like that. I mean, I'm the kind of guy to call the police. I ain't one to be. No. So anyway, man, I got out of that treatment center. I spent 30 days in there. I got out of that treatment center and I went to my first meeting. It was a 12 o'clock meeting. And it was at the Trust Clinic. And it was at 1300 New York Avenue. Thank God for that meeting, man. It was a meeting that was about this many people in at lunchtime, right? And they told me, they said, Sam, when you go to the meeting, raise your hand and tell them that you don't know how to live without using, right? And I went in there and I was scared because I was like, damn, those are nice looking women in there. And I was like, I don't, you know. You let them know who you are, they might not, you know. And I raised my hand and I told them that I needed some help, man. And they clapped for me, man. And I broke down in tears. And my life, I think, in recovery began at that point. I came to this convention. I had about 90 days clean of my first convention here back in 92. And I swear, this was the impetus that got me clean. I mean, that thrust me on down the path. Because when I came here and I saw addicts in this room like this, man, I was like, oh, shit, this is real. I mean, a place where this many people, because I had never, nobody in my life, in my family, I'm the only one ever that got clean. Or, you know, everybody else is still using, right? And I had nobody, no role models. I didn't have, you know, my parents were drug addicts or users anyway, but that's their story. And when I came in and saw this recovery, man, it was a relationship that I needed for myself that you guys became my family, like, you know, my new family. I found a sponsor, man, and this guy was real instrumental, and this is where my relationship part, because he was telling me, and it's really important because, you know, people think that, you know, they say, don't get in relationship. I mean, if you don't get in relationship, you really ain't got nothing to base it on. I mean, if you ain't about yourself, you know, what kind of relationship? You're just going to have big arms or, you know, like Popeye. You know what I mean? If you're home, you know, working relationship with yourself, they say, I'm in relationship with myself. Like, what you doing? Who you know what I mean? You need people in your life. You know, you need some adversity. You need some breakups. And I had plenty of them. We'll get to them in a minute. I hope you get, how much time I got? Anyway. Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to get into a couple of relationships. I didn't want to. I was hoping about a lady in here. I'm still looking around. Hey, baby. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, I was telling my boy this day, I was saying, man, day, you know, it was kind of hard to share. You know, usually when I share, I usually share on the steps and stuff. And I can really talk about those because those are, you know, generic. But when you're talking about yourself and relationships, that's kind of hard because sometimes people really judge. You know, this is you take a real risk when you come up at the podium because you might not get no pussy for weeks and months. Because people in your area, they know you. They say, I heard your story, nigga. I heard your story. You was a hoe. You know. But anyway, my sponsor told me, he said, Sam, he gave me a hand for the ropes. He said, Sam, go have a good time. He didn't tell me no stay out in a relationship for no year. He said, Sam, have a good time. He said, just remember your primary person. Your primary purpose. You say that real quick. He said, don't let money, property, prestige, or pussy divert you from your primary purpose. And I never did. I went to meeting, I'm swear, this is the truth. I went to meeting every day for my first 5 years. I don't know. Some days now people be like, they go to meetings once a week. Look, for my first 5 years, I'm telling you, newcomer, I was in a meeting every day. Every day I was in a meeting. I mean, I had chances to lay up and get some pussy on the side. But I would say, hey, look, baby, I'm going to this meeting. I'll be over there at 8:30. The meeting's over at 8. Have some dinner cooked. I'll be over there at 8:30. Come on. And then she be saying, you got to go to those classes again. I said, yeah, because your TV be missing if I don't go to the classes. Your stereo would be missing if I don't go to those classes. Anyway, man, I kept coming back, and I got in a relationship with my home group. You know, it's the Start to Live group. We meet at 6:30. Anybody in D.C.? We meet at 6:30 on Ridge Road, 800 Ridge Road, the Johnson Memorial Church. It's a step study, literature study group. And I advise anybody who's hanging out in open discussion meetings, please get a goddamn step group. I don't understand people with daggone, you know, I mean, that's your business, what groups you go to, but if you ain't got a step group in your forte,
Because my sponsor said, what the hell you got to talk about? You know what I mean? Ain't nothing to discuss.
Right.
He said, you need some steps in your life. And that's what's really saved me, because even without the relationships, I've been in a lot of them. My first good one was that I met this little fine girl at a cookout, right? I got 4 minutes left. I met this fine girl at a cookout. I'm going to talk about one of them each minute. I met this fine girl at a cookout, right? I mean, she was fine. She was cut up like a bag of dope, right? I'm talking about, she was cut up, man. She had a little skirt on. She had an N8 breast. I'm telling you, I love breasts, and she had them, right? And, man, she was good to me until we made a baby. And that was a devastating thing, because neither one of us were ready for it. We was having a good time, man. But the funny thing about it was, she taught me a lot about condoms. You know? Before then, man, I mean, even now, I mean, I have problems with it, and I tell people a lot, you know, because, I mean, after a couple of months, I think it's safe. After I had heard your story, checked it out, you got a little test done, I'm saying, like, okay. I'm just talking about me now. I don't know anybody else got a problem with condom. But 3 babies later, and being down in that damn child support court, let me talk about a relationship. Now, this stuff I'm talking about, I was telling, man, that's what kind of thing they'll make you probably use again, man. They had me down in that court, and it was like a woman judge. She had a lawyer. I can't afford one. She got a lawyer, and they were saying, Mr. Conyers, come on up here. And I would have down there with a suit on. I should have had some raggedy-ass jeans and stuff, right? I go down there to work with a suit on, man, and they wore my ass out there. And when I came out there, they had went up in me without no KY jelly, right? I'm talking about, my butt was sore when I came out of there, man. Alabisi, sir. Oh, they went up in me. Anyway, I just want to say this, right? Step work. I mean, what happens is that, that was early in my recovery. You know, things have changed. I mean, what happened was, even in the beginning, man, I mean, I was messing around with girls on the street and stuff like that. And I remember this one time, right, I had picked up this girl. And, you know, they was doing like $5-$10 trick thing. And, man, she got in my car and she gave me this look, right? And I don't really do that often, but I had about 2 years clean, man. And I picked up this girl on the street, right? She was still a sick, suffering addict. And I looked in her eyes, man. And the thing about it was, I had meeting this in my car. And I wanted to give her a meeting this, but I didn't pick her up with the intentions of going up in her or, you know, get some head, right? And I couldn't cross the line and say, damn, I can help you out of this situation by taking this meeting list. And, man, it was so funny. I gave her $10. I didn't ask her for any services. And I told her that maybe one day I might be able to help her later. But I'm just saying, that was the last time. Now, I got 19 years. That was the last time I picked a sick and suffering addict up. Because what I realized is that I could not carry the message. And that's what I'm really here for, right? Is that, I mean, even though I can, in the rooms, we, you know, if there are a lot of relationships that are going in and out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and we still stay clean. I mean, there are a lot, I don't know about in your area, but people, you know, we're a little small society, but there's a lot of fucking going on in Narcotics Anonymous. Because we're a small society, and we try to keep it in the family. You know, it really is. I don't know about y'all in your area, but it's a lot of people that dated 2 or 3 people, and now they date Joe, now they date this guy over here. But, I mean, that's how it is. But once I had crossed the line with this particular girl, man, I learned a lesson, man, that the most important thing is that I stay clean and that I'm able to carry the message, right? And if I hadn't said anything to help anybody, remember this, you know, that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Thanks, I'm an addict. My name is Sam. I'm going to keep coming back.